us offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the most merciful Lord. Dearest Bhagwan, please bless us so that come what may, we relentlessly strive to walk on the path laid down by you. How many ever times we may fail, we always rise up yet again and continue to walk till we reach you. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we will learn a Sanskrit bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Shiva. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
So this is what we will learn now, and like always we begin with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso, former student of Bhagwan's University, a very gifted singer and composer of many Sai bhajans. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva Om Bhava Hara Pura Hara Puttaparthishwara Shambho Shankara Sada Shiva Om Kailasa Chala Bala Shiva Kala Kuta Dhara Bala Shiva Keli Lalasa Bala Shiva Leela Tandava Bala Shiva.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning the tune of this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Bhavahara Purahara Puttaparthishwara Shambho Shankara Sadashiva.
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 Om Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Om Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Kailasa Chala Bala Shiva Kalakuta Dhara Bala 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 Shiva.
ಕೇಳಿಲಾಲಸ ಬಾಲ ಶಿವ ಲೀಲಾ ತಾಂಡವ ಬಾಲ ಶಿವ
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 ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಶಿರಡಿ ಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ಶಂಭೋ ಶಂಕರ ಸಾಂಬ ಶಿವೋ.
So that is the lively bhajan Ravi Kumar and Anirudh demonstrated to you line by line. And now let's move on and understand what makes this bhajan so lively. So Anirudh is here with us in the studios to tell us what is the composition and what are the swaras that makes this bhajan so dynamic. So Anirudh, tell us what is the raga behind this composition.
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This bhajan, if you ask me which raga, it is more Madhyamavati based.
Okay.
I can say it's completely on Madhyamavati, which is generally sung during the end of the concerts, as I mentioned before when we did the Madhyamavati in some sessions.
Yeah.
There are so many familiar songs in this raga. Bhagya the Lakshmi Barama.
Yes.
Yeho Vithale, which,
yes,
Abhang, which we demonstrated before. So it is a very vibrant and energy filled raga. And as far as this composition is concerned, it is more percussion based.
Yeah.
In the sense, it is a dynamic, lively bhajan,
yeah,
which is sung in a group, which enhances the live energy in the atmosphere. So if you see the composition wise, like if you look at the swaras which make this composition, it may be like standing on the same note. Shiva, 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 sa, 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 ri. So even if you play in the harmonium also, maybe like you are on the same note for from that time.
Yes.
Ta, 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 ta. So, but that's what, when everything is together.
Yes.
When every the percussion element, the harmonium, the singing, everything is together, it sounds very nice.
Yes.
And very lively. And Madhyamavati, you have the notes.
Sa ri ma pa ni sa.
You have ri shuddh and ni is komal ni. Ni,
okay.
One.
Sa ni pa ma ri sa ni.
Note re is so beautiful to just stand on the note and meditate upon.
Re sa re sa re ma pa ma re ni re pa re ma pa ni sa re ma re ni pa pa ni ri ni sa.
Amazing. It's really, as you mentioned, it's such a bright,
yeah,
feeling.
You have only the five notes in the raga.
Yes.
But each note makes a lot of impact.
Difference.
And it has got its own role to play.
Yes, the re, the ni.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's discover more the beauty of this bhajan through this raga. So shall we go and do the swaras for every line?
Yeah, we'll do the first line.
Shiva, 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 Shirdi Purishwara, Shambho Shankara Samba Shivo. Sa, 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 sari, ni, 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 sa, sari, ripamari ri sa sa ri sa sa
sa sa sa sa sa sa sa ri ni 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 sa sa ri ripamari ri sa sa ri sa sa
bhavahara purahara putta parteshwara shambho shankara sadashivo ri ma 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 ri sa ri ma 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 ri sa ri pa 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 ma ri ma pa pa ma ri sa
ri ma 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 ri sa ri ma 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 ri sa ri pa 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 ma ri ma pa pa ma ri sa.
We'll go to the next line, which is
kaila kaila sa chala bala shiva కాలకూటర బాల శివా సరీరి ససారి సనీని ప్రిమ పరీరి ససారి ససా
సరీరి ససారి సనీని ప్రిమ పరీరి ససారి ససా
కేళీలాలస బాల శివా లీలా తాండవ బాల శివా నిపపని సా ససారి సరి రిమపమరి రి ససారి ససా
నిపపని సా ససారి సరి రిమపమరి రి ససారి ససా.
ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ టైమ్ యు హ్యావ్ అ ఆప్షనల్ వేరియేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ గివెన్ ఇన్ ది
లీలా తాండవ
దట్ ఏరియా
Leela Tandava.
There's a variation. I will sing along with the full line.
Keleela Lasa Bala Shiva Leela Tandava Bala Shiva Nipapani Sa 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 Di Sari Prima Pari Ri Sa Sa Di Sa Sa Prima Pani Bama.
There is a small variation. Of course, it is up to the singer who wants to give it or not.
Okay. So, as you mentioned, it is in the rag Madhyamavati.
Yeah, Madhyamavati.
And I guess there are many bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, there are many bhajans.
Satya Sai Padambujam.
That is one of the...
Yeah.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Bhajore Sada Om Hari Om.
There is some vibrancy to all these bhajans.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different energy is there in this yes. bhajans. And Hamsab Milkar, which we did
yes.
before, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
So shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Aditalam. And it is more percussion based bhajan, this is, I
yes.
can say. Because this is a kind of energy, as you told.
Yeah.
So, to get some mood and energy, vibrance.
Yes.
We sing this towards the last 15 minutes or 20 minutes in a bhajan session.
Good percussion support.
Yeah.
So Arvind Sai is now here with us to
yeah.
give us that support on the kanjira.
Yeah. So the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Shiva 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 Shirdi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Shiva 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 Shirdi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shiva.
Amazing. So thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Saram, Vishu. Thank you.
Saram. So we are now done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the beat of this bhajan. And let's now move on to the vital aspect of bhajan singing, which is more important than the technicalities, and that is bhava. The feeling with which we must sing this bhajan, and to imbibe the correct bhava, we have to understand the meaning of every word in the bhajan. So let's start with the first line.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shivom.
Here Shiva occurs four times. Shiva, the god of dissolution of the cosmos, according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality. During the Shivratri discourse of 1973, Bhagwan elaborated on the name Shiva and said, Shiva means all graciousness, ever auspicious, sarva mangalam. And that is the reason why the epithet Shri, which indicates these qualities, is not added to the name Shiva, Shankara or Ishvara. It is added to the names of the avatars, because avatars are the occasions when the Lord takes on a perishable body for a specific purpose, and they have to be distinguished from other humans by the epithet Shri. But Shiva is eternally gracious, eternally auspicious, mangalam all the time, and that is why Shri is superfluous, and that is why Shiva is Shiva, ever auspicious, Sadashiva. Moving on, the word Shirdi Purishwara can be split into Shirdi, Puri and Ishwara. Shirdi, of course, refers to the holy land of Shirdi in the state of Maharashtra, where Baba, as Shirdi Sai, lived for 60 years. Puri means place. Now, regarding Ishwara, Swami says the word Ishwara means the divinity that is regarded as the possessor of the infinite and inexhaustible wealth. And what is this wealth? It is the wealth of all kinds, knowledge, virtues, wisdom, health, everything. Ishwara is the embodiment of every form of prosperity, Sakala Aishwarya Sampanna. We know that Shirdi Sai is the first in the trilogy of the Sai avatars, and so many details about this avatar was unknown until Swami as Satya Sai himself revealed this for the first time on September 28, 1990. And that day, incidentally, was the birth anniversary day of Shirdi Sai. Bhagwan revealed that the father of Shirdi Baba was Ganga Bhavadiya and his mother was Devagiri Amma. They were childless for many years and they kept praying to the Lord to bless them. Ganga Bhavadiya used to ply boats for a living. One night when it rained, he told Devagiri Amma he would go and look after the boats and return only in the morning. And after he left, Devagiri Amma had an early dinner and slept, but was soon awakened by a knock on the door. And there was an old man there, and he requested her to accommodate him for the night as it was pouring outside. Now Devagiri Amma agreed and allowed him to stay in the inside veranda and went in after bolting the inner door. After a while, she again heard a knock, and when she went to inquire, she found that he was hungry. So she mixed flour and curds and gave it to the old man. There was again another knock after some time. And now when she opened the door, the old man said, "My legs are aching. Mother, can you please massage them?" And now Devagiri Amma went inside and she sat in the prayer room and she continued to pray. She prayed to the mother, "Oh mother, why are you testing me like this? How can I do this service? What should I do? How can I refuse to serve him? But how can I do such a thing?" And so going out of the house by the back door, she went searching to see if she could find somebody who could render that kind of service to the old man. But she found no one. And when she returned, crestfallen, suddenly there was another knock on the door, and Devagiri Amma went there, and now she found a lady who said, "Mother, it appears you came to my house and sought some help. I was away at that time. Please let me know what service I should render." And feeling happy that Goddess Parvati had sent the woman in response of her prayers, Devagiri Amma sent the lady to the veranda for serving the old man and closed the door. And now, who do you think the old man and the lady were? They were none other than Lord Shiva and his divine consort, Mother Parvati. They were there to test Devagiri Amma, and now they were very pleased with her devotion. The divine couple now wanted to bless Devagiri Amma, so they again knocked. And when Devagiri Amma opened the door, she could scarcely believe her eyes, because in front of her she saw not that old man and this lady, but Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And Goddess Parvati blessed Devagiri Amma, saying, "I grant you a son to maintain the lineage and a daughter for offering in marriage." And Lord Shiva then blessed her, saying, "I am immensely pleased with your devotion. I shall take birth as your third child. And thus it was that Lord Shiva was himself born as Shirdi Sai Baba, the third child of Devagiri Amma and Ganga Bhodia on September 28, 1835. So that is the story of Shirdi Sai, who is none other than Shiva himself. Moving on, the word Shambho can be split as Sham meaning peace or bliss and Bhu means to cause. So Shambho refers to Lord Shiva as the bestower of peace and bliss. Shankara can be split as Sham and Kara. During the Shivratri discourse of 2002, Swami explained, Sam refers to Chidanandam, eternal bliss, and Atmanandam, bliss of the self, while Kara means one who bestows. Therefore, Shankara is one who confers eternal bliss. And the last word is Samba Shivom. Samba comes from Sa meaning divine and Amba means mother. So in this context, Samba refers to goddess Parvati. And the last word Shivom is the coming together of Shiva and Om. And Om, as we know, is the primordial sound of creation, and in Lord Shiva's hand is the Damaru, which reverberates with the sound Om. Lord Shiva is the master of all sounds. Nada is sound, and there is no place in this creation where there is no sound. Only we cannot hear some of these with our natural ears, but all creation pulsates with Om. So in this line, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shirdi Purishwara, Sambho Shankara, Samba Shivom, we hail the ever auspicious Lord who incarnated as Shirdi Sai, the one who confers on us lasting peace and bliss, the one who is embedded and who echoes and resounds in every speck of creation. Let's move on to the second line.
Bhavahara Purahara Putta Parteshwara Shambho Shankara Sadashivo.
The first word here is Bhavahara, which can be split into Bhava, which refers to worldly existence, and Hara means to destroy. The second word Purahara comes from Pura meaning a city, and Hara, as we saw, means to demolish. There is an interesting legend about how Lord Shiva destroyed three demons who were called Tripurasuras. A demon named Taraka was killed by Kartikeya, the divine son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And so the three sons of this demon performed penance and obtained a boon from Brahma himself, according to which they could move about in three castles or three cities made of iron, silver and gold. And they could only be slain by a single arrow after a period of 1,000 years. So these three brothers created forts in different areas and ruled the world. They harassed the gods and the devas and the good. The devas complained to Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva said, as long as these three demons pray to me, I cannot destroy them. And so now Lord Vishnu devised a master plan, and this was cleverly enacted. And by this time, what happened was these three demons who had gone into their evil ways stopped their prayers to Lord Shiva. Instead, now they wanted everyone to praise them, and they also only started praising themselves. They thought they are invincible. And now, since all their good qualities were lost, Lord Shiva too decided to annihilate them. And the gods decided to help Lord Shiva in this mission, and so the earth became the chariot, Lord Brahma became the charioteer, Lord Vishnu became the arrow, the sun and the moon became the wheels of this chariot, Mount Meru was the bow, and serpent Vasuki was the string in the bow. So all the gods were present in some form in that divine chariot. But fire and the god of death were in the wheel instead of being the arrow. And to rectify this, it is said Lord Ganesha, the son of Lord Shiva, broke the wheel and put fire and god of death in the arrow. And finally, when everything was ready, the devas were proud that only with their help now Lord Shiva was going to destroy the Tripuras. And what actually happened was absolutely something else. Lord Shiva did not use any of them. Lord Shiva simply looked at the demons and smiled, and in that smile these three cities, the Tripuras, were burnt down. The Rudraksha appeared from the three eyes of Lord Shiva during this Tripura Samhara destruction of these three demons. And the Devas realized how foolish it was for them to think that only with their help Lord Shiva can annihilate these demons. One interpretation of this episode is that the three Puras or the three cities signify the three components of bondage: Aham, ego, karma, deeds and their effects, and Maya, illusion. When God showers His grace, all these impurities are burnt. Additionally, the three cities are also interpreted as three bodies: the causal body, Karana Sharira, the subtle body, Sukshma Sharira, and gross body, Stula Sharira. Lord Shiva destroys these three bodies, which represent ignorance. During the Shivratri discourse of 1964, Bhagwan spoke about how Lord Shiva slayed the Tripurasuras and said, "It is said that Shiva laughed when he took a good look at the chariot that was provided for him when he started out to slay the Tripura Asuras, the demons of the three bodies, Stula, Sukshma and Karana, the gross, subtle and causal. Vishnu, the charioteer, was mostly in yogic sleep or yoga nidra. The stable earth was the chariot and the two wheels were the sun and moon, two spears which never revolved in unison. But that laughter of Lord Shiva laid the demons low. There was no more need to proceed against the demons." And Swami says, "How did the evil forces that dwelt in these three bodies die?" And Swami reveals, "They could not exist where there was divine bliss, because they, the demons, were products of grief." That is how beautifully Bhagavan explained this legend. Swami said, "Develop Ananda, develop that bliss, then all these evil impulses and tendencies will just vanish, because they cannot get foothold in your heart." So that is Purahara. Moving on, the third word is Puttaparthi Purishwara. Now this comes from Puttaparthi and Ishwara. Puttaparthi, the little hamlet the Lord chose to be born in as Satya Sai, and today the spiritual epicenter of the universe. And we already know the meaning of Ishwara, Shambhu and Shankara. The sixth word is Sadashivom. This can be split into Sada, meaning always, and Shivom, the eternal, ever-present, all-pervading Lord. So in this line, Bhavahara, Purahara, Puttaparthi, Purishwara, Sambho, Shankara, Sadashivom, we pay our obeisance to the Lord who destroys fear of worldly life, who destroys our ego, the effects of our deeds, and who destroys illusion. He is the Lord of Puttaparthi. He confers bliss on all. He is eternally auspicious, the one who resonates everywhere in the cosmos. Let's move on to the third line.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shivom.
Now this is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let me narrate here a fascinating story of one devotee of Shiradi Sai. In 1910, Sundaramma was 13 years old and her husband was working as a station master at Manmad, which is just a few hours from Shiradi. The husband was a devotee of Baba, and so he took her along whenever he went to have darshan of Shiradi Sai. On one occasion, Baba called the husband and gave him a silver coin with his feet embossed on it, and he told the husband, "Worship these feet every day." Many years passed and this man died, and in the 1960s, Sundaramma heard from a friend that Sai Baba had reincarnated in Puttaparthi, but she did not believe this. Still, out of curiosity, she came to see the young Satya Sai, and even after a few days of staying in Prashantinilam, she was not convinced that it was the same Baba. And she remarked one day to one of her friends, "I will never bow down to this Baba. My Lord is Shiradi Sai, and I am going to leave this place." And during this time, one day, Bhagwan quietly walked into Sundaramma's quarters, and Swami asked her, "Sundaramma, is it true that you want to leave this place?" And she replied, "Yes, Swami, I would rather go to Shiradi than stay in this God-forsaken village." She said this and she continued her cooking, her eyes not even meeting Bhagwan's eyes. And Swami then asked, "Sundaramma, do you want to see your Shiradi Baba?" And she immediately replied, I would love to, but alas, he had taken Samadhi long, long ago. And then Swami persisted, tell me, do you still want to see your Shirdi Baba? And now she turned back and said, how is that possible? I mean, he is no longer here. And when she turned around fully, she could not believe her eyes because she saw Shirdi Baba in flesh and blood in exactly the same spot where Satya Sai was standing a minute ago. And now with tears in her eyes, she bowed down at the feet of Bhagwan, and from that day she never left Prashanthi Nilayam. So that is the glory of Shirdi Sai Bharti Sai. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Kailasa chala bala shiva, kalakuta dhara bala shiva.
The first word here is Kailasa chala, and this comes from Kailasa and Achala. Kailasa refers to the holy mount Kailasa, which is considered the abode of Lord Shiva, and Achala means steady and unmoving. Once Baba asked a person by the name of Kailasam what his name meant, and this person was taken aback. He didn't know an immediate answer. He struggled for a whole week, and later Bhagwan himself explained to him and said, Kailasam signifies the cleanest, purest and flawless crystal. It is also a symbol of the purest, untainted heart. Lord Shiva chose Kailasam as his celestial residence because he resides in a pure heart. And during the Shivratri discourse of 1985, Baba further said, it is said that Shiva lies in Kailasa, but where is Kailasa? Kailasa is your own joy, your own bliss. It means that Shiva lives in the Kailasa of delight. If we can develop that sense of joy and delight in our mind, that itself is Kailasa. And how can one get this joy? It comes when we develop purity and steadiness and sacredness. Then the heart becomes filled with peace and bliss. And Swami says, then your heart itself will be Kailasa, and Shiva will be there in the sanctum sanctorum of your heart, within the temple which is your body. Giving another interpretation during the Shivratri discourse of 2005, Swami said, where is Kailasa? It is only when you contemplate on him in the depth of silence that you can visualize Lord Ishvara in Kailasa. Therefore, one has to practice mauna or silence, and that silence implies total stillness of thought and word. So many beautiful meanings of what truly Kailasa Chala means. And everything is so profound. The second word is Bala, meaning child, and this refers to the childlike nature of the Lord. The childlike purity, the childlike innocence, the childlike playfulness, the childlike humility. Childlike divinity. And those who have seen Swami at close quarters can easily relate to this. How many times have you seen Swami so inquisitively looking at a new gadget, a new camera, asking so many questions about what it can do, what are its operations and so on, and the very next moment waving his hand and creating a replica of the same thing. That is the beautiful childlike Lord. In fact, when a devotee offered a car to Bhagwan in the 80s, Swami immediately brought that to the primary school to show it to all the kids, and he allowed them to play with it. That was the childlike joy that we see in Bhagwan. So that is Bala Shivasai. The other new word in this line is Kala Kuta Dhara, coming from Kala Kuta and Dhara, which means to hold. According to a legend in ancient Indian culture, Kala Kuta is the name of the dangerous poison that came up during the churning of the ocean of milk. And in order to save the whole universe, Lord Shiva consumed this poison. Mother Parvati pressed her hand on Lord Shiva's throat so that the poison stayed there and did not proceed down further. And that is why Lord Shiva is always portrayed as having a blue throat. So in this line, Kailasa Chala Bala Shiva Kala Kuta Dhara Bala Shiva, we adore the one who shines brilliantly in a childlike pure heart. He is the one who drank up the deadly Kala Kuta poison to save entire humanity. The one who continues to undertake several pains only for the welfare of you and me. Let's now move on to the last line.
Keli lala sabala shiva, lila tandava bala shiva.
Here the first word is Keli Lalasa, which can be split into Keli and Lalasa. Keli means sport and Lalasa means one who desires. So Keli Lalasa refers to Lord Shiva who revels in divine sport, the divine sport of creation and dissolution at one level, and at the avataric level we have seen Swami who loved to have fun with students, with his devotees, how he used to allow devotees to throw him up in the air on a swing tied to a tree, how he used to mischievously play with his dear ones, sometimes confusing them, sometimes faking to reprimand them, only to have a hearty laugh later. And this, there was always very profound lessons. So that is Keli Lalasa. And the next is Leela Tandava. Leela is again divine sport. And the word Tandava refers to the dance that Lord Shiva performs. Lord Shiva is that cosmic dancer, and it is this dance that goes in every particle of this universe, inside every atom, inside every nucleus, the dance of the protons, the electrons and whatnot, a mystery one can never fathom. And it is this mystery that makes everything move in this creation. So in this line, Keli Lalasa Bala Shiva, Leela Tandava Bala Shiva, we adore the childlike pure Lord who delights in sports and who is the cosmic orchestrator of everything in the universe. So with that, dear listeners, we have made some attempt to understand the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now let us listen to this complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University.
Shiva Shiva Shirdi Purishvara Shambho Shankara Sambha Shivo. Shiva 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 Shirdi Purishvara Shambho Shankara Sambha Shivo.
Lala Sabala Shiva,
Come now to the last lap of this program, wherein we'll listen to a short conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim. He is someone who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for many years, for more than a decade and a half, and even now sings in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir whenever he is in Prashanthi Nilayam.
A beautiful bhajan at that point of time was, you know, a bhajan during Shivaratri. Lakshmi Narayan Kote was, you know, he had a very beautiful Carnatic style of singing in a very South Indian Carnatic classical bass. And he told me, you compose some bhajan that I can sing before Bhagwan. So one bhajan that came out at that time for him was Anupama Sundara Nanda Kishora.
Wow.
Which is in that raga Vrindavani Sarang. And another bhajan that he sang during the 1984 Shivaratri, he introduced this bhajan before Bhagwan, was, as you know it very well,
Jay Kailashpati Shiva Shankar Sambh Sada Shiva Shambho.
This bhajan.
And this bhajan is such a comprehensive bhajan. And this is one of those bhajans where no name of Shiva is left out.
Exactly. And you can't imagine the ecstasy when the bhajan was composed. And I told him the bhajan. And straight away he liked the bhajan. He said, I want to sing it before Bhagwan. And then the whole process of singing a bhajan before Bhagwan used to be very elaborate. Singing it at least 100 times maybe. Learning it properly.
Yes.
So that we shouldn't really muff it up before Bhagwan.
Swami says any bhajan before you sing, in a samiti bhajan also, before you sing in front of others, you should practice 100 times. And imagine if you're singing a bhajan for the first time.
Exactly. And the melody also is so appropriate, like it takes you straight at the base of the Mount Kailash and you are looking at him and the whole world vanishes around you.
If you think about it, it's really very, very profound, this bhajan, because I feel only someone who has been in the proximity of the avatar, you know, possibly can come up with something like this.
You are so right. And that also happens only by his grace, his karuna.
Grace. Absolutely.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who is actively engaged in the Sai Bhajan movement, in teaching bhajans, in composing bhajans, and in singing bhajans in India and elsewhere. And with that, we've reached the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved, merciful Bhagwan.